fellow named Tony Wade in over in Arkansas. A little over a year ago, he, by the way, attends the Texas Convention of Lads to Leaders. Wonderful man. He wrote, he called me one day and he said, look, we need a book on prayer. We need to teach our people how to pray. And so I, along with Greg Tidwell and Matt Guy, two other board members of Lads to Leaders, wrote this book called Teach Me to Pray. And this book is available. I think there's some going to be out in the foyer to give away for free. And I hope that some of you will take one of these. I'm not sure. I think they're $12. Yes, $12 if you should buy one of those or if you want to buy them for a group of people. One of the great things about it, in the back, there is a daily prayer journal of things that you can keep record of your prayer. And that's a wonderful, wonderful book to get. But there are a number of things dealing with the power of prayer and many other things that we've not discussed that I think that are worthwhile. I also want to mention, since we've talked a little about church growth, and I'll talk more about that in a few moments, this little book that I wrote, four or five years ago, called Sower, for the Sower. In fact, Landon, you have to go through this in order to get your red coat. It's one of the requirements. And it's evangelism training for everyone. And Sheila, back in 1970, when we went on the trip to Colorado, we were trained, and many of the things that we were trained to do back in 1970 were things that went into this book. And so it was a kind of an interesting thing. It took me about 6 months to write and 50 years to learn what to write. But there's a lot of things in it about evangelism. I wrote it for the teenager, for Lads to Leaders. But I thought, since I was trained as a teenager to evangelize, that anybody can be taught as a teenager to evangelize. And I wanted to give them some of the things that would help them to do that. And this book is also available only through Lads to Leaders. And so I'm grateful for that. Now, my topic was teach us to pray. They gave me the thing that had to do with that. And, of course, that passage comes out of the book of Luke, chapter 11. And the Bible says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Well, that's a briefer version than what you would have in the book of Matthew chapter 6. But those were things that, as was said a moment ago by Alex, very much this is a framework. It is not a rote prayer that we just pray those words and we don't pray anything else. It's more of a guideline of saying these are some areas for us to think about, to pray about, things that I think are that Jesus thought were important for us to know and to be a part of. When I went into Minsk, Belarus in 1992, one of the things that was so interesting to me was that the people there did not know how to pray. They didn't know how to pray. You see, the prayers were always done by the Orthodox priests in the Orthodox Church. And it was the priests who prayed. And the prayers that they prayed were in their liturgy, written down by somebody else. They didn't think up their prayers on their own. They just read the prayer that was for that particular day. And so no one really knew how to pray. Furthermore, most of them didn't even have a copy of the New Testament. So they didn't have anything that had taught them what they needed to know about things that were most important. And because of all those kinds of things, not many people knew about praying and how to pray, how to do those kinds of things. I think the first thing that we need to think about is to get alone with God, to get alone with God. Prayer is first and foremost a matter of relationship that we have with God. We're telling God our hearts. And it's a rather private thing to tell to the one who created us, the one who loves us. You know, God has been with us all of our lives. God, our Father, has heard every prayer we have ever prayed. He knows all about us, knows all about our victories, knows all about our suffering, knows all about our mistakes. He knows all of the things that can hurt us and the things that can help us. And He knows what we need even before we ask Him. I think that's interesting that God knows us that well. If God knows how many hairs are upon our head, He knows a whole lot of other things about us as well. And the good, the bad, the ugly, He knows it all. But it's there, and God cares, and He wants to hear from us. You know, we don't have to beg God to pray. Please let me pray to you. You know, if you were going to try to get an appointment with the governor, you'd have to call his secretary and find out a time and set an appointment date just to get to spend 5 minutes with him. Forget it if you tried to talk to the president or to some other people. It'd be impossible. He's too busy. He's got too many things to do. There are even people who are important in our communities that we would have to call to get an appointment with, that we wouldn't just have that opportunity. But God says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. We don't have to beg God to pray to Him. He invites us to pray to Him. And He's available to us always. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that God wants to hear from you. You may not always want to tell Him everything, but He wants to hear from you. And whatever you have in your heart that's important, He wants to hear it. Oh, He knows your troubles already. I think of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 4. And there you have David crying out to God, "Search me, O God, and test my heart." He wants to have God to look at his anxious thoughts and see if there is some hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And I always thought that was so important. Well, God didn't need to search David's heart. God already knew everything in David's heart. But David needed to know what God knew about him so that he could repent and correct the problems of his life. And God invites us to pray to Him, to tell Him all of the things that we want Him to know, because He cares for us. Now, I have 4 children. If one of my children approached me and said, "Daddy, I want to talk to you," do you think I would say no to them? You're God's daughter. You're God's son. You're not a stranger. You're not an alien. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to know about you. He cares for you. And He is building and making a place for you. You see, He's planning on spending an eternity with you. And so He wants to get to know you better in this life so that you can live with Him and He can live with you in the life to come. He cares about your needs. He cares about your wants. He cares about your hurts and wants to comfort. He cares about the things that are important in your life. He cares about your family. He cares about your health. He cares about you. And because all of that is true, the time that we need to get alone with God, to relate with God, and prayer is relational. And to be alone with Him is important. Matthew 6, verse 6. "But you, when you pray, you go to your inner room, close your door, you pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." There are times when Jesus was alone with the Father. He went out into the mountain to pray. He would get up early in the morning before everyone else did to pray. He would pray all night. Why? Because he could be alone with God during that time, because he did not want other distractions. He wanted to be with God, and he wanted his Father to be with him. Do you want to be with your Father in heaven? Ah, important, isn't it? When you get alone with God, then I want you to think about the one to whom you are praying. In this book on the sower, and a little bit later on, Teach Me to Pray, one of the things that I have in every day, a bit of the devotional, the first 2 hours should, I mean, first 2 minutes of a 10-minute period of time should be spent thinking about praying. If you will take 30 seconds to a minute before you ever say your first word in prayer and think about who God is and how you're wanting to address Him. I thought quite a little while before I decided what I would say to you. Have you ever thought a little while about what you would say to God? Most of us just kind of rattle on. But prayer should be intentional and pray specific things. And part of that is, okay, who is God? God is my Father. He was there when I was born. He was there when I cut my first tooth, when I said my first word, when I took my first step. God was there when I was sick, and God was there when I was well. God knows everything about me, and He loves me and wants to spend an eternity with me. And yet He's the same God that made me, even as complex as I am. A full-grown adult has 7 trillion cells in his body. That's a lot of cells. In every cell there is a DNA molecule with 100 encyclopedias worth of knowledge within that one molecule. You aren't junk. God created you. And you are special and wonderful, and no one in all the universe is exactly like you. God cares. And when we think about the Father who has loved us, who's provided every good thing we have ever known and done, every benefit, every blessing I've ever had in my whole life is because of what God has done for me. When all of that comes to pass, then we begin to think about that. And not only is He somebody that we want to pray to, He's also somebody who knows about us. Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8, and when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetitions like the Gentiles do. They suppose they'll be heard for their many words, so don't be like them. And then He says, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. He's ahead of you. Now, God is not some strange and distant force out in the universe. He's close, like a father to His children. And when we become Christians, we also become children of God. And John said about Jesus, the gospel writer said about Jesus that He came to His own, John 1, verse 11. And His own people didn't receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, it's through Christ that we can say our Father, and He is our Father. Let me tell you something. You have an earthly father, you have an earthly mother, but the Spirit came from God. And if you have been born again, you become born again because of your Father, God. And it was through His word that you were begotten. When I think about praying to God, I think about praying in a certain way. He says, I want you to pray thus. This is how I want you to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. To hallow means to make holy. To honor is holy. One of the great things about getting alone with God is to remember that God is God and I'm not. That God is utterly holy, 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 holy. And yet I'm a person of unclean lips, like Isaiah said. I'm just a human, just a human. I think about Leviticus 10 and verse 3, whenever Nadab and Abihu offered up some strange, unauthorized fire. And Moses got with Aaron after Aaron's boys died. And here's what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored. When you pray to God, you're praying to a holy God. And you should treat him as holy. Psalm 111 verses 9 and 10. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments, and his praise endures forever. But we need to know that he is holy and he is awesome. King James uses the word reverend there. Someone that should be revered, respected. When we pray, we're not talking to a peer. We're not talking to an acquaintance. We're not even talking to our boss. We're speaking to a person greater than a governor or a senator or a president or even a king. We're speaking to the God who created us and who's the ruler of heaven and earth. And we should give to him our utmost respect. Sometimes I think we have forgotten about things that are holy. We often make things common rather than holy in our world today. But we need to be like those seraphim who called out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Whenever Isaiah thought about that, the first thing he thought about him is, "I'm not holy. I'm not like God." And to be able to come into his presence is a special privilege. To pray is to have a special privilege. Whenever he prayed that God's will, he said, "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, the kingdom certainly did come, and it's the church. Peter, "I'm going to build my church and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom," Matthew 16. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, "He rescued us from the domain of darkness and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." Well, what is that? The church. Revelation 1 and verse 9, "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom." John said he was in the kingdom, Revelation 1, 9. And in Revelation 5, verse 9, they sang a new song, that is the elders and others. "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you've made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God." Well, what is that kingdom that's made up with priests? Well, that's the church. Peter talked about our being a royal priesthood. He purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20, 28. And he purchased the kingdom in Revelation 5. Yes, the kingdom did come, and it's the church. But he says, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like to pray that on the search program. I wish that were true in our culture and in our time. In Matthew chapter 26, you remember Jesus said that his soul was deeply grieved to the point of death. He wanted his disciples to keep watch with him. He went a little beyond that, and it says he fell on his face. Here was the Son of God, and his face was on the ground. Oh, he was troubled to the point of death. And he said, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus paid a great price to do the will of the Father. Now, if we pray, "Your will be done," it may also cost us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. What if everyone on earth did the will of God on this earth? You think about how much a place this would be. This would be like heaven if everyone did the will of God. I wished everyone would do what is right, don't you? I hunger for that kind of righteousness. I wish the pagans would leave their paganism and become Christians. I wish the false religionists would leave their false religion and come to New Testament Christianity. Jesus already has all authority in heaven and on earth, but I want us to do the will of God, which is a different prayer, not our own will. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I look forward to that day, but it's not the kind of day that we're having here on this earth. That'll be only whenever Jesus reveals himself. And people will have to recognize that everything he predicted came to be true. Just like when he predicted, I'm going to be raised on the third day, and he was. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed, and it was. And he predicts that he will come again, and he will. When, we don't know exactly, but we know he will. When I think about God, he wants us to pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Yesterday is yesterday, and today is today, and tomorrow will be tomorrow. And you know what? We need daily bread. We need daily air. We need daily water. We need daily prayer. We need daily scripture reading. We need daily faith. We need daily love. And that's why we need to put God first. And if we put God first, he'll meet our needs. But to pray to him, give us this day our daily bread, is a great prayer. In 2009, when I moved back to Edmond and became one of the speakers, along with Mac on the search program, at that time we were on 85 stations, broadcast stations with antennas. And one of the things that I began to pray from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, where it tells us to devote ourselves to prayer and to do it with thanksgiving and to pray at the same time that God would open up a door for the word to us and that we may speak clearly as we ought to speak. I prayed that. I had that on my wall behind my chair. I got books there now, but I have that. I had that on the wall. I had that passage. And every day I would pray, oh Lord, please open up a door for the word to us. 2009 was a rough year for search. We went off about 8 to 10 stations later in the year because we ran out of money. But we started working hard and I kept praying. And you know what? The money came in and it wasn't long until we started adding stations here and there and other places. And within a year and a half, we were on, instead of 85 stations and then losing down to in the 70s, we were on 95 stations. A year later, we got CW Plus, and we were on over 200 stations. And we've stayed about 205 this year. You see, this didn't stop in 12 or 13. This year, at the beginning of the year, we were on about 205 broadcast stations with antennas. But we've added one in San Francisco. We added one in North Carolina. We added one up in Washington and one down in Florida, Miami. We're now in Miami on a broadcast station. And somewhere else, I forget where. But we also went on GET. And when we went on GGT, we were on Direct and we were on Dish, but we also gained 40 broadcast stations with GET. So instead of being on 205 stations, at this particular point in time in December, we're on 250 stations. We were on 60 radio stations a few years ago, and now we're on 80. We're still on about 150 cable systems. A couple of years ago, we added Nationwide Canada. And we're on in Jamaica, by the way, Alex, and the Bahamas. And all through the Caribbean, we're on in Guyana. We're on in Belize. We're on in places out like American Samoa, out in the Pacific, and by radio, everything from Tahiti all the way to New Zealand. God kept opening doors, and I think it was to answer prayer. But now here is the kicker. What we had to raise in 2009 in order to do all of that is about the same amount of money that we're having to raise today. We're paying about the same amount of money today that we did in 2009 for our television and radio airtime. Only God could have done that, to have tripled what we were able to do, and yet it cost almost no money. That was God's doing, and it was an answer to prayer. I believe in the power of God, and I believe in the power of prayer because of what God can do. Now, Landon and Mark can appreciate this because he's in a similar ministry. We have to raise about $9,000 to $10,000 every single day. Every single day to pay for what we do. How do we do that? Well, we get on our knees and we ask God for it. And you know what? God provides. I've been 16 years, come January, 1st of January, I've been 16 years at Search. And in fact, we're already doing 2025 programs, already got six of them done. And you know what? I've never had a single night in 16 years where I worried about money. God always answered prayers. Always answered prayers. Now, I'm not some kind of Pentecostal, but you don't have to be a Pentecostal to be a gospel preacher and to be a New Testament Christian and to be a believer. I believe because the Word says it. And when God makes a promise, He keeps His promises. And when you believe in God and you ask Him to help you, He will answer those prayers. And I have seen the work of God in my life, how that we prayed and God answered those prayers. I saw it before I went to college and when I was in college. I saw it when I was in my first ministries. I saw it all through the ages, and I've seen it more in the last 16 years in a more powerful way than I've ever seen it at any time in my life. God opens doors for the Word when you ask Him to. And God provides finances when you ask Him to. When I was young, I would say these things because I could read a passage of Scripture. But now that I'm a little older, I can say these things not only because the Scripture says them, but because I can look in my life and see what God has done. You may be young, you may be old, but you can look, if you've lived very long at all, at your life and see what God has done for you. And it should cause you to believe that God can do what He promises to do. That He can give us our daily bread. And He can give us the things that we need to do this work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. This has not been mentioned, but I will mention it at this particular point because I think it's so important. About the power of God. The power is not in my ability to pray. The power is in God's ability to answer. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." Not just all grace, but all grace abound. And it's to you that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And I have seen that in my life. An abundance for every good deed. You know, I have found that whenever what you're praying is for the good of the kingdom, God answers those prayers. Oh, I know sometimes we pray and it's a very selfish prayer. And sometimes we need to pray for ourselves. But every time I've ever prayed for the kingdom, I saw God answer those prayers. For years, people prayed that the Soviet Union would open up, and it did. For years, people prayed that various places would have opportunities, and they do. If you have a church and you want it to grow, Colossians 4, 2-4, pray that God will open up the door, and He will. And don't just do a willy-nilly prayer. Pray with your sincerity and fervency as hard as you can. devote yourselves to prayer every single day. And get down on your knees. Put your face on the ground. Let God know you're serious about it. He will hear you. It's all right to ask for what we need. You remember Jesus said in Mark 11, verses 22 to 24, have faith in God. Truly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. And therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. God can do more than we ask or think through the power that works within us, Ephesians 3 and verse 20 and 21. Yes, there are times we need to pray for those things, and there are times when we need to pray for forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. If you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive others. Have you ever been offended? So angry you wanted to punch somebody? I have. And all it did was create a lot of stomach trouble and problems for me. Forgive. Forgive. Most people would rather forget about their sins, and yet the Lord reminds us not only to confess our sins, but to ask God to forgive us. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful to do that. But God wants us to forgive other people. We should pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, God never has led anybody into evil, but it's the things that are all around us to keep us from going to things that would hurt us. He said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Oh yeah, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's always been true. We may think, oh, I'm strong. Oh, I can overcome this. Can you? Sometimes it's not as easy as that. No, God doesn't tempt anybody, but He helps us. He helps us. Deliver us from evil. There is that roaring lion, the devil, who prowls around seeking someone to devour. There are times whenever we're weak and don't even know it, when we're exposed and don't know it. But you know what? If we pray and ask God to help us, and we stay alert, that we keep sober in spirit, then God can help us. He says, resist him firm in your faith. Yes, we can resist. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Other people are saying no, and you can too. You can say, I don't have to do that. I won't be enslaved by you. I won't be pushed by you. But then look at the promise. After you have suffered for a little while, and yes, temptation can be suffering, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself, God's going to take it on Himself, to perfect, to confirm, to strengthen, and to establish you. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Claim the promise. Claim the promise. And it will help you to resist. To know that the end of the matter is God helping you. Some versions say, for thine or for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We all learned that. Most of us had to memorize this sermon or this prayer that was in the Sermon on the Mount. We know it by heart, by memory. And that's something to pray. Let's not resist praying those things, but let's use them as a guide, as a framework, as something that can give us a direction to pray. But when you pray, remember first the one to whom you speak and recognize what he can do for you. Well, let's end here and let's end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have taught us how to pray through your Son Jesus and through the words that the Spirit recorded in the text. Father, help us always to love you from our hearts. Help us to hallow your name in our lives. Help us always to do your will on earth. We pray, Father, that we'll be thankful that you give us each day our daily bread. And Father, we pray that we may stay away from the temptations of this world and be forgiving of others, just as you have forgiven us. We know that you are always our Father, and we glorify you and know that you have all power. And it's through the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen.